The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare, called Your Best Healthcare Now. It is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade, the former editor of Money and George magazines, a senior advisor to healthcare.com. And for those of you who have been listening to him, some of you will remember that we had, let's just say, a segment called The Healthcare Detective on the Case, His Own, which was when Frank, the intro says, Frank joins us from his fever at his clinical trial at UPenn. Now, this was a couple of years ago, but today, he's going to talk about that a little bit. So, first I should say, hi, Frank, how are you?
Well, that's the whole point of today's little conversation. I'm doing really well. So, yes, you're absolutely right. 3 years ago, after a whole series of medicines and interventions, which I'll describe in a minute, I was sort of running out of options. And I got into a clinical trial with some good luck at the University of Pennsylvania. It's the Perelman Center for Advanced Medicine. It's like walking in, you know, walking into a spaceship to Mars. Down there, and they accepted me into the clinical trial for my blood cancer, which is multiple myeloma, which I've had now for 11 years. So this is 3 years ago, and I've had checkups that had me in complete remission. I call it remish, okay, don't want to push my luck, for 2 years going on three. And last week, I came up to my 3 year checkup. Now, this is a biggie. It's not just a blood test or any other routine thing. This is a head-to-toe CAT scan looking for these plasma tumors, which I have had all over my body, including near or on some vital organs. So that's not good. So the question is, were those tumors still essentially dormant and not active? I got to tell you, Jill, my wife and I, Carol, we were a little bit nervous about this one because we're way out there on the bell curve. Anyway, we were in the waiting room waiting for the results, and in walks our doctor, Ed Stottmauer, who's a world-famous multiple myeloma and blood specialist. He bounds into the room, and he says to me, I'm not really sure. Have you ever had this multiple myeloma blood cancer? Because we can't find a trace of it. So that's 3 years. And he actually used the word historical. He is one of the top blood guys in the world, really. And he told me that he does not know of anyone else who has had 3 years of relief from the kind of clinical trial that I had. No one else. He also threw on the word cure once or twice. Let's be careful about that. I don't want to get ahead of the developments. But Jill, what can I say? This is a fabulous piece of news. He does not need to see me for another year. So I can say that this clinical trial worked for me, and I am ever grateful for that. So I know your good wishes are with me as well.
Not to mention my good prediction, but nobody believed me, so that's...
Well, you looked at the stars. How are they lined up? You never told me.
I told you that you could be safely optimistic, and you were like, piffle! Because, but this is what I actually want to talk about. It's like, it couldn't be. But, no, so that's just obviously incredibly happy news, and that's real good.
Listeners, by the way, I have to interject. I have never used the word piffle in my life. And it's a long life.
All right. Well, anyway, it was essentially piffle. And what I do want to ask is, because somebody had told you, one of your doctors, that because the issue was that you are you are now so much an outlier. And someone had said to you, in fact, the longer you stay an outlier, you kind of keep, there's a possibility that you continue to stay an outlier. And that was, you know, if nothing else, mildly counterintuitive, considering that this is a sort of thing that can well come back. So I just wondered if there's any further information on that.
Yeah, well, it was Dr. Ed himself who said that essentially the longer you remain in remission, the longer you are likely to. So now in my trial, it was about 20 people. Half of them couldn't tolerate the medicine, so they never even got any benefit of it. Of the other 10, I'd say two or three, I'm including myself now, did pretty well. So that's two or three out of 20. One person died in the middle of the trial, just for whatever reasons. You know, in the United States, these clinical trials are run differently than they are in other countries around the world, not to mention Russia and China. They take people who are ill, and they see if the medicine can work for people who are actually running out of options, where other countries will pick people who are likely to do well. So it's not much of a surprise that somebody could get very sick and maybe even die in a clinical trial in the United States for something as serious as this blood cancer in advanced stages. But, you know, the interesting part about it is that it worked for me. It worked for so few others. Now, there are other, and I'm talking about this specific medicine from Novartis at University of Pennsylvania. There are other trials going on around the country, 20, 30 of them, for using the same approach as they use for me. And there's one medicine about to get FDA approval. So that's progress. They don't know why this medicine worked for me and did not work for 17, 18 other people in the trial. But one clue is the tumors I mentioned. So multiple myeloma lives inside the stem cells in your marrow, and it can clog your marrow, and that's not a good thing. My cancer actually jumped the wall. You cannot find it in my marrow and haven't been able to find it for a year and a half. But I do have these tumors all over my body, and if they grow big enough, they're a problem. And one thing I learned from Dr. Ed this time is that, in a sense, my form of this disease, which is only 13% of the people get this form, it's called extramedullary disease, the worse it was, the better the targets for the medicine. It seems counterintuitive again, but that's the theory, that I had a bad enough case where the medicine can actually latch on and do well. Let me describe it. It's called a spike protein. So the mother cell, this cancer cell, forms a protein, an extra protein, that sits on top of the cancer cell and camouflages it. So my immune system does not recognize the cancer and does not attack it. And more cells grow, and the spike protein continues to camouflage. This medicine, they take your T cells, which are white blood cells, fight all kinds of disease fiercely, into the lab. They engineered it in the lab with this medicine to hate my spike protein, weaponize it against my spike protein. Then when that medicine was injected back into my body, just a drip, it then attacked the spike protein, essentially drilled down through the spike protein and blew up the cancer cell. Now, you may recall, I had fevers that were record-setting down at the University of Pennsylvania. I had fevers for 24 out of 26 days. In some cases, they were round the clock. Doctors were very happy about that because that showed that the medicine was drilling down, exploding these cancer cells and causing all kinds of havoc in my system. Yay, that's a good sign. The next generation of the medicine that Novartis is working on will not only drill down and attack this one spike protein, which is called BCMA, it will attack two of them at least. And one of them will be the mother cell itself, which is another protein called CD19. So you see, even though this trial didn't work, in a sense, because they don't have a medicine that's going to result from this trial, it gave them insights into how to make a better medicine moving forward. So all in all, this is good news. One point quickly. This search for a vaccine against COVID-19, we're moving at warp speed, is using some of the companies, including Pfizer, which is likely to be the first one to get emergency use for their vaccine, is using this same protein approach. it's not going for the COVID-19 mother cell. It is attacking the spike protein that the mother cell produces. If you go by my trial, that's kind of tricky. That's necessary. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work, okay? And it's not going after the mother cell the way Jonas Salk did to cure polio. And the reason that he was successful, it took a number of years to develop a vaccine that really attacks the mother cell, where you can more quickly create a medicine that attacks the spike protein. Is that going to be enough to stop COVID-19? Let's hope so. But my trial, as good as it has been for me, is no guarantee that this speedier spike protein approach is going to work for COVID-19. Fingers crossed that it will. I'm not saying I'm hoping it does. Fingers crossed that it absolutely will. But ain't no guarantee. So I want to interject that as well, Jill.
Right. Absolutely. And the other thing, just going back to your original trial, it's like people should know that even though you are able to say, yeah, great, I had a fever for 24 or 26 days or whatever, and the doctors were thrilled, that, you know, it wasn't exactly a waltz.
No, it wasn't. But you know, I also had a stem cell transplant, and anybody who's gone through advanced cancers know this. A stem cell transplant was a far tougher ordeal. You lose all your hair. You really are very sick. It takes a long time to get your energy back. I'd stare in the midst of this thing. I would stare at my shoes for 20 minutes trying to decide whether I had the energy to tie them. I'm not making this up. Other people can tell you what happens with this profound fatigue that comes with it. The trial for me, now remember, one guy died, so he may have a different opinion. But for me, even with all the fevers, and I would get chills first. And it wasn't the kind of chills that you could throw a blanket on and get relief. That would be a signal for the nurses to give me a medicine called Dilaudid, which is as close to morphine as I'll ever get, which is pure bliss for a short period of time. And the chills go away and you feel great. Then they give you Tylenol enough to make you sweat through all your clothes and the beds and bed sheets and so on. I would have that one after another. There'd be maybe a 20-30 minute lag between where I stopped sweating and the beginning of a new set of chills where I could relax for a bit. With all that said, Jill, that was nothing compared to losing all my hair and having profound fatigue. And the trial was over in 28 days or something like that. And that included outpatient at the beginning and at the end. So, yeah, stem cell... Look, you hope you never have to go through any of this, but the stem cell transplant was much more rigorous. And by the way, as bad as it was for me, as difficult it was for me, I've had other friends who've had even worse experiences. So yeah, stem cell was the worst thing I've experienced so far.
And I just add for those who don't know, even though it's, not to mention it was the worst and it didn't particularly help. So that was.
And it didn't help. That's right. In my case, it did not help. Now I've got other friends who've gotten years of relief from it. The median is somewhere around 3 or 4 years of relief. I got 3 or 4 months of relief, and that put my doctors, to hit the accelerator button. For us to find this clinical trial, which was not easy. We had a call all over the country. And when I say we, this is very important. My doctor at Memorial Sloan Kettering, not my family doctor, not other doctors I've seen, but my specialist at Memorial Sloan Kettering, got on the phone with me. I was making calls. He was making calls to find this trial down at the University of Pennsylvania. We got a lot of sorries. Sorry, can't, no, we don't have a trial. Sorry, we're full. Sorry. Without the intervention of my doctor at Memorial Sloan Kettering, I don't think I would have gotten into this trial in Philadelphia. So it's really important. I say this over and over again to people. You can't do this alone. You need a partner. You need a doctor who's working with you, a real advocate for you. You've got his home phone number or her home phone number. You can reach them at any point, and they go to bat for you when it really matters. And I've had that with Sergio Garalt down at Memorial Sloan Kettering and other doctors like Ken Anderson up at Dana-Farber. These are people who say, you are my patient. Here is my phone number. Call me at any time. I'm here to help you as much as I possibly can. One more little note on this, Jill. I'm actually thinking of writing another book. I've hesitated up to now to write a personal book because, okay, so I got 2 years of relief and other people have gotten 2 years of relief. I didn't think my case was that special or we could learn that much from it. But now at 3 years, way out there on the envelope, with my doctor telling me he doesn't know anyone else who's gotten this kind of relief from the practices that, including this clinical trial, but other things I've done over the past 11 years, maybe I can write a book with a title like Beat Cancer, just like I did. I've lived for 11 years with this disease. I've got other friends who, you know, unfortunately died within 3 or 4 years. But when I had conversations with them, they didn't have a partnership with their doctor. They didn't know that much about the medicine. Not that you have to be an expert, but you do need to understand it. They didn't know what medicine they were taking. They would just put themselves in the hands of some clinic, even at a good place like Yale Health. But they weren't involved deeply, and they didn't have a partnership with their doctors. And in many, many cases, they did not do very well. So I don't know, Jill. I'm thinking about it. If I can do a book like Beat Cancer, just like I did, and show people the right way to approach a disease. I thought when I was diagnosed that this was a deadly disease. It is a serious disease. Blood cancer, cancers in general. Yes, it's very serious. It doesn't have to be deadly. You can live with it if you do the right things. So maybe I'll go ahead and write that second book.
Maybe we'll check with your astrologer. Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available in-store, online, and, of course, on my desk.